Lord to bless His Word. And I'm always keenly aware of my humanity and how sometimes we might say things and they come out different than what we meant it, or maybe it came out just simply different. And maybe we have problems sometimes understanding each other. And the devil, sometimes he likes to take advantage of that and try to cause confusion. So, anytime a minister gets up, be as long-suffering and as prayerful as what you can for him and with him. Because he's human just like you. But we do need the Lord to be with us this afternoon. I feel a little bit like my brother Curtis Williams this morning, that I feel like the Lord wants us to have a strong foundation, we live in a time when the devil is trying to offer a lot of substitutes to build our lives on. And a substitute is just that. It's not the real. And at best, a substitute is not the real. And if we try to build our lives on something that's not the real, it's bound for failure. And you can't change that. It's just going to happen. So God wants you and I to build our life on some very foundational things that I believe He wants us to understand. And the devil is trying to get some of that understanding all cluttered up with human thinking and human reasoning and obscured so much to our minds that we can't feel secure in the truth. Well, we hardly know what truth is. You remember what Pilate said to Jesus? And truth was standing, was right in front of him. But sometimes, because of all the confusion that's going around, I could almost see Pilate in an exasperated, "What is truth?" You know why he got to that place? Because there had been so many other influences just bombarding his mind. And the devil would like to try to get us so bombarded with all these different influences that we don't hardly know where to stand. And that's not God's will. He's not the author of confusion. God wants you and I to have a clear picture of what He is and where He's taking us. Now, we can't maybe perceive all of it, but God sees it, and He wants you and I to just follow on step by step. And as the song says, He brings us in. The Lord, it's His will to bring us in, not only to His salvation, but another verse that says, we can go in and on out and find pasture. And that's what the Lord wants for you and I. And I'm interested today that we, not just our young people, my burden has many times been toward our young people because I want them to get established. But my burden is to all of us. Because we feel the push that the devil is trying to do today to try to cause us to not perceive really where God stands. And all the devil's trying to confuse that in our minds. God's still there. You know where He is? He's in righteousness and holiness and truth. He's still right there. And He wants to bring you and I right there. And He wants us to build our life on that rock, that tried stone. And once we begin to build our lives on that, there will not be any reason to be confounded, because it'll still be there. It's truth. And that's where God wants us to build. Well, let's look over here in the book of Peter. 1 Peter. Sometimes I've been reading here in Peter, and I've just loved what I've been reading. I've read it before, but have you ever had the Lord kind of refresh those things to your mind and maybe bring out things that you hadn't ever saw before in that clear way? And I guess that's part of what makes the Word alive. Over here in 1 Peter, maybe the first chapter, second verse, Peter is kind of introductory toward the people here. Second verse says, calls them the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Now he's talking to these people that are saved, and he tells them, you are saved through the foreknowledge of God. You are saved through a plan that God instituted. He saw the need of the soul. Now God beholds the need of humanity. And because of His omniscience, His ability to perceive the depth of our need and the great gulf that was between us and where we needed to be, the foreknowledge of God said, I am going to devise a plan. Now, this plan is not just a plan to forgive. That's a great thing when we are forgiven. Oh, when we feel the weight of guilt that rolls off our shoulders, it's a wonderful thing. And I don't want to diminish that at all, but God does not stop there.
No.
We need to build on this foundation, folks. There's something that God wanted desperately to provide for you and I. You see, there was something happened to mankind a long time ago. Now, the seed of love got distorted. We, instead of keeping our love and our affections on the God of heaven, it got twisted and got to be self-love. We thought our ways were right. That's the reason why when she saw that fruit hanging on that tree, she decided that it wasn't so important to please her God, but it was more important to please herself. And she was enticed. She was drawn away and enticed. And she began to partake of that, and in doing so, she failed. And then, you know what came into her? Sin. There was something took the very seed of her love and replaced it with selfishness. And so the spirit of man now is corrupt. Have you ever noticed that from a child up? If it's not trained, if parents don't stay right on top of it, that child will learn to be very self-centered. And even at the best of your training, they're still going to have some of that. It's part of our nature. And the foreknowledge of God, all the great wisdom and love and compassion of God, looked at the, not just distorted, but the damaged people that we were. And He said, I know how to help them. And He said, through sanctification of the Spirit.
Yes.
You know what He's meaning by this? You see, there was a part of us that was distorted, that was taken captive. And we, instead of being free to worship God aright, we began to be so self-centered and live to our flesh and reap such terrible consequences because of that. And the Lord wanted to save. Not only did He want to forgive, He did want to forgive. Yes, He brought His Son for the purpose of making that sacrifice that He could buy us back and forgive us for all the sin that happened. But not only that, He wanted to take the spirit that was deformed inside mankind, and He wanted to make that spirit again to be right. Is He able to do that? The devil would like to try to convince all of our minds that we are so captivated by the forces of selfishness and carnality and sin that we could never run free from it. And he is almost convinced, and it was mentioned here today, and maybe even last night, but the biggest majority of what we call Christendom out there today teaches that we are forever going to be slaves to this force until after we die. And then maybe we can be liberated. Oh, but I want to tell you, the will of God is that He wants to make us the spirit of man.
Amen.
To be made right again.
Yes.
Before we have to go beyond this realm. He wants us to enjoy it here.
Yes.
That's why He made that available. Through the sanctification of the Spirit. He's talking about a divine work where He comes in to the spirit of who we are today and plants His seed down in our heart and begins to change our nature.
Yes.
begins to renew. Listen, please listen to this. Please allow your faith to reach out and grasp this, because this is a part of the great gift of God that is being held out to humanity today. That we no longer would need to be slaves to the flesh any longer. There is a divine work of God that He has holding out to you and I. It is a work that begins to change the very nature of who we used to be and change it into a godly fashion. Do you believe that? Sometimes about right here we get caught up in the term sanctification, and sometimes the devil will like to point at all of our human failures and say, well, see, there, you can't happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, let me help you see that a little differently. God knows that we're flesh. And He also knows He takes great pleasure in taking an imperfect person and molding and shaping that individual until they become the express image of His glory.
Amen.
It's not a work that you're going to have to always do. We give our will. We do that. But there's a part God knows you can't do. And so because His foreknowledge of who we are and His knowledge of what we really need, He provided from heaven something for you and I that we can actually be victorious in this life. Now let me help you understand that. Sometimes we get the idea of victory as we have arrived at such a height that temptation we don't have, and that's not what God had. He wanted victory through temptation. He wanted to strengthen you and I in the battle. He wanted to glorify Himself, that maybe we come to a place. It happened in a different level back in the old, under the old law, there were three Hebrew children. They were His children now. The Lord owned them. They had to go ahead and go right on through trial, didn't they? You know why the Lord let them do that? I don't know whether they saw the fourth man, but others did. The Lord wants to glorify Himself in your life. Sometimes you think, well, I'm saved and sanctified and I shouldn't have the... Yes, you should. The Lord allows you to go through places that He might glorify Himself. He might purify you and I. He uses a fire to clean up, to change, to mold, to shape. And He does that in those He loves. God wants to be at work in our lives. Brother Peter said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And what he is meaning here is God divinely working on our spirit through His Spirit. He comes. You see, this part that's flawed, this part that is damaged, this part that is deformed in us, He wants to remove that and replace it with the pure, with His Spirit. He wants to set that apart. He wants to plant that seed that our heart and our mind begins to think things like He thinks. There's to take on His passions, His desires, and God develops that as we go along, purifies and works on you and I. There is definitely a place where I come and I ask the Lord for His holy. But I want to tell you, we don't need to struggle with that. God, it's His desire to give us His Holy Spirit. His will, He wants to give it to you and I. Oh, it's His great pleasure. He's not trying to hold that back from us. He wants us to have it. But He wants it to be there working, active, always changing and molding and shaping you and I in where we live today. It causes you and I to be set apart, you see. It causes you and I to be different in the world. See, I start worrying when I see people with their heart turned toward the world. It indicates something. It indicates that somewhere they maybe have lost their first love. Brother Peter said that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. And through this avenue, there's multiplied peace. Peace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. Now, and then, even the seventh verse, that the trying of your faith. Think, well, sanctification is going to make it where I don't have any trials. Yes, you're still going to have to. But the Lord is using those trials to bring you and I to places of a fuller knowledge of who He is. Nobody likes to go through hard things. And I don't mean to just point out one of my brothers here, but he's not the only one. There's others I could point out. Brother Curtis Williams has went through some very hard places.
Yeah.
And I believe if you talk to him right now, he probably wouldn't want those hard places back. But he would tell you he learned precious things in those trials that he could have probably learned no other way. You know why I teach trust in the Lord during times like this? For those nuggets of gold right there. For the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes. But you get some. It's more precious than worldly things, folks. It's more precious. You see, the Lord's at work in our lives. The Lord was at work in His life when it wasn't a surprise to God that that happened to Him. He saw it. And He knew what He was doing. Sometimes we don't always understand, but the best route to take is to allow the Lord to work. Say, Lord, work right on. Because there is some great blessings at the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to go on down toward the latter part of this chapter and pick up another verse. I want to think just a little bit in the 24th verse. It says, "For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is just like the flower of grass." Sometimes we have it in our mind that we're pretty important. If I can live 100 years and affect a lot of people, folks, we're so very small. We're so very transient. That means that we're not going to be here very long. Even if you are here for 100 years, you're not going to be here very long. The glory of man. Sometimes we like to trust in our youth and our strength. And I just admit to you that I still struggle with this. I'm a very self-sufficient person. I don't like to ask you for prayer. That's a fault of mine. And because of that sense of self-sufficiency, sometimes I have struggled through things longer than what I needed to. Remember one time I had affliction on my body? And I always thought, well, the Lord can hear my prayers just as well as anyone else, so I'm going to pray. And I hold it before. I didn't need to tell anyone, and I understand that. There's a place for that, folks. Don't get me wrong. Of learning how to press our own battle. And the Lord leads you that way. You go right ahead and follow His leadings. But this time, the Lord is trying to help me to learn that I need to be willing to call out to my brothers. That's part of what this family is for. I was struggling with that for some time. And the affliction stayed there and kept growing. And I was starting to get more concerned and more concerned as we went. And finally the Lord said, I read James over there. And the Lord said, you haven't asked others to pray for you. Well, I said, Lord, I always thought you could hear my prayer. I said, I can. And I've heard your prayers. But I've asked you to go have others pray with you. And so that night, it was Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday night. I remember, it's been a while back. And I went to services, and I just said, I need to be anointed and prayed for. I have something. And that's hard for me to do. It just is. So I went there, and simple prayer. All I know is that when I did that, I felt the blessing of obedience. And I got up and went away, knowing that even if the Lord left it, I still did what the Lord asked me to do. And I want to tell you, the Lord changed that affliction within the week. And I haven't had that since. Why did I have that affliction? Oh, wait a second. Don't say affliction's bad, because it's not. That affliction was given to me for my good. That affliction was given to me for the Lord wants to teach. He wants us to... He uses them as refining tools. Tried by fire, you see. The Lord wants to take us through places that we can learn to lean on Him and learn to trust Him and learn His character in a fuller way, that we can appreciate Him in a greater measure. You know, there's one of the reasons why we advocate, why it's important for married couples to spend time together and have companionship, where they talk over the depths of their heart and are very vulnerable. You know the reason why? Because that causes us to be strengthened. We have a deeper appreciation for one another. When my wife and I was first married, I loved her with all my heart. But my ability to love her in a fuller way wasn't there because I didn't know her full more. And we've lived 27 years together now, or 20, anyway, quite. Sorry. 28 or something. Anyway, we've lived for, the Lord has blessed us with a good marriage. And that time spent together, we've gotten to know each other better. And our love is richer and fuller. And that's what God brings you and I through places like this in our life, so that we might know Him better. Yeah. Why do you think that the Lord brought the children of Israel and brought them right up to the Red Sea, trapped them? That's what He did. The army was behind them. There were slaves to each side. They didn't know how to get away from there. They didn't know how to get out. And they began to complain. You know why the Lord brought them there? He wanted their faith to be strengthened. He wanted them to see what their great deliverer was still wanting to do for them. He wanted them to see the water part. He wanted them, after that moment, He wanted them to go forth with a great praise and assurance in their heart that my God is able. And He wants you and I to have that deep, settled faith and confidence that my God is able. That doesn't mean He always performs it as I preconceived thought it should be done, but He does it well and does it right. And it's always the best way for our soul. It's always the best way. All of our flesh is grass. We're just here. We're very small. Let's not put so high value on the flesh, but let's look toward the spiritual things of God. I think of how we can build up in our minds our own human value to the point that we're not able to receive the correction of the Lord. We're not able to humble down and say, oh, Lord, I want to do it Your way. We get so built up in my own human value, my own value of my own life, that I can't, I'm too anxious. God wants us, just give it into His hands. He wants to present Himself as our God, as the one that is able to take you and I and make us into His image. He wants us to see Him high and lifted up. Now, shortly after, I know there was a number of years there, but over the sixth chapter, I believe, of Genesis, it talks about man's thoughts were only evil continually. Before that, I believe in the chapter, it talked about the Lord looked at man and He saw that the sons of God, I believe, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And God saw that and He perceived that as those men began to give over more and more to their fleshly desires and appetites, it was a damaging thing to them. And as it would develop in their life, it would be something that would be further destructive to God's creation. So you know what He said He'd do? He said, My spirit will not always strive with them. What He means by that is that I'm going to shorten their days so they would learn their transient state. That's what He meant. He said, my spirit will not always strive with them. And so then right after that, in that verse, it said, Though he's flesh, his days is going to be, I think, 120 years. The Lord limited the amount of time we can live. And I know sometimes in our youth, we can feel strong and able to handle the world, and our eyesight's good, and everything works well in your body, and you're full of vigor and a lot of drive, and God meant it to be that way. But He also meant it to have a time when your knees begin to hurt, and your body begin to hurt more, and your eyesight begin to dim, and your ears begin to be to the point they didn't hear so well, and your teeth begin to rot. God told him to do that. You know why? Because He wanted you and I to remember that we're just dust. He wanted you and I to see the urgency. He didn't want us to be so frivolous about life that I would cast my eyes over to the sons of God saw the daughters of men, you see. In our walk with the Lord, we can get so caught up in ourselves that I begin to cast my eyes out where they shouldn't be cast. And allow those things of the world to be enticing to us. And so the Lord left reminders as we walk along to let us know, oh, be careful, my child. He let our bodies hurt and the gray hairs come in our head and our energy to wane for the very purpose to remind us that I'm going to go to my long home one of these days and I need to be ready to go. The Lord left those reminders, but He also told us that I want to take you safely through this. Not only do I want to remind you, I want to give you my Spirit to help you go through this in a godly and a glorious and a victorious fashion. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, flower falls away. The Word of our God endures forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. This Word that we can build our life on, it is something God wants to give you and I personally and reveal it to us in a very personal manner that we can have an anchor to our soul. Something that will convince us and help us to understand that we can live holy and godly right here amongst all the temptation and all the things of the world, the enticements of the world. He wants you and I to know He's able to keep us through this time. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies, envies and evil speakings like newborn babes, hunger for the sincere milk of the Word. Desire that you may do what?
Grow.
That you can grow. That was Brother Peter's desire. That's also God's desire. And that's also the desire of all of God's children today. You know, when we have a baby born into a family, they're precious. We love them. They mean so much to us. We get real concerned if they don't start growing after a while. We want to see out of them a hunger. And God wants to see that out of you and I. You know how He does that? Not only did He build within us a natural desire for hunger. In the body He did that. Also in the spirit He did that. The natural desire, that natural impulse. You know how He did that in the Spirit? For God so loved the world. And that love had such a great effect to you and I, on you and I, that it causes me want to respond. That desire, that hunger, you see, began to build. Oh, I want to know more about You. The devil would like to stifle that hunger. He would like to give us hunger suppressants. You heard of that? Things that people can take to try to keep the hunger desire from not kicking in. That might be all right on your body, but it's not very good on your soul. Whet your hunger. Whet your desire for the things of the Lord. Allow the Lord to whet that passion for Him. Like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted the Lord is gracious. I want to hear this fifth verse. I want to pick up a thought here. Now, better not. Let's go ahead and read the fourth. To whom coming? Talking about this Lord who is gracious. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. Who's he talking about here? Who's the living stone? This is Jesus he's talking about. He's living. He didn't stay in the grave. He's preaching resurrection here as well as the fact that he's here to help us. There's a resurrection. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. As whom? Coming to this one, I tasted of him. I found he's sweet. And I want you to know, he's alive and well today. He came out of that tomb. And he's yet, folks, maybe you and I haven't with our physical eyes seen him today, but I hope we've seen him with the keen eyesight of our spirit. Because God wants to reveal himself to you and I individually in such a measure that though our eyes might be closed, our inner man knows him more richly than even our physical could. He wants for you and I to be so anchored and so acquainted with his touch that nobody can come and say, he's dead, he's of the past. Oh no, I know him because I've talked with him today. I've had some time with him today. He's still alive. He came out of that tomb. I know who he is. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. Men in their carnal ideas, they rejected him. That's what this scripture says. Disallowed indeed of men. But he did exactly what God told him to do. He was chosen of God. Precious, yes. Chosen of God and precious. We found him not only gracious, but we found him precious. Take my life. But don't take away my Savior. Brother Polycarp. I've heard it said about him, or I read it one time, and I probably won't quote it well to you. But it was something on this wise. In his old age, Brother Polycarp was captured, was taken up before, I believe it was the Roman law at that time, and they were trying to get him, I believe, to also incorporate in his worship. Just say Caesar is also a god. Just admit that's a god on an equal footing also. That he's all right to worship Caesar. And Brother Polycarp couldn't do that. And they said, they tried to approach him with kindness and said, now look, you're an old man and everybody loves you. And just for their sake and for the fact that you've been so long, set a good example here now. And we don't want to do this to you. You just, all you have to do. And they tried to make it as easy as they could for him. And Brother Polycarp looked back at him and said, I forget how many years he said, have I served my Lord and he's never done me wrong. He was precious to him. He was precious.
Yeah.
They said, then we're going to have to kill you. Brother Polycarp said, then you must. And they took him out. And they bound him to a post. Put a batch of firewood around him. And they lit the fire. And the fire swirled around him in such a fashion that it didn't even touch him. And here he was in the middle of the fire. And those looking on were angry that their purpose was being thwarted right there in front of so many people. And a fellow said, told a soldier, said, put a sword through him or spear through him. And they put a spear through Brother Polycarp. And enough blood came out that it put out the fire. He didn't have that much blood in his body. It was the Lord, again, glorifying himself through a faithful servant. I want to tell you, Brother Polycarp saw the face of the Lord with joy.
Amen.
Take my life if you must, but don't take my Jesus. I found him precious.
Amen.
How can I turn him loose? I've served him, and he's never once done me wrong. Never once.
No.
You mean when he left Brother Curtis over there? He had long sleepless nights. He wasn't doing him wrong, folks. He wasn't doing him wrong. Not 1 hour of it did he do him wrong. The hour of the night when I was with my father, and I watched him groaning and rolling back and forth, and I was praying, and it seemed like the ceiling was glass, and my prayers was going nowhere, and I was feeling frustrated, saying, Lord, doesn't sound like you're hearing me at all. Really, I said, Lord, if you love us, and folks, that's a terrible thing to say, because the Lord loves us dearly at all times. But I was in a very hard place, and the Lord knew that. And I saw the hand of the Lord come at that moment, folks. The Lord loved me in that moment. That moment was right. He never has done me wrong. In that moment, He wasn't doing me wrong. He saw in my heart a need. And He brought me to a place where I was cornered also, not just my father. He brought me to a very cornered place that He might show me His glory in a fuller measure. This is why I teach and believe with all my heart, it's right and abundantly better to trust the Lord in times like this. This is why we teach it, saints. It means so much more to go through these things with the Lord and see what He does for His dear children. This is why we're not teaching just to not go to doctors because we don't want to trust in the arm of flesh. Do you know there's a lot of other ways you can trust, lean to the arm of flesh besides going to the doctors? Be careful that we don't do that either. It's not that we don't want to just lean to the arm of flesh. It's a lot more than that. It's that I want to trust Him. And in doing that of a willing, hungry heart, there is such a depth of blessing. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've got these wonders in your mind, you're not sure, maybe you're struggling with this, I want you to learn a place of real trust with the Lord. Allow Him to whet your love for Him and your understanding of Him. Go through some hard places with Him. Allow Him to be exposed to you in a greater measure, and the Lord will confirm some of these things to you. He wants to. He wants to confirm them to us. What sometimes we can do, or that we do, that hinders that teaching is when we take ourselves out of His hands and just do it my way. Again, if I do it my way, I'm leaning to the arm of flesh. God help us not to do that. Let's do it His way. This lively stone, you also now, He said, as lively stones, not just Him, but you having a resurrection, you coming alive, you having the living action of God at work in our lives, this divine action of God in our hearts, you now as a living stone are built up a spiritual household, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you know God wants to take each one of us? Your personality, I know when Brother Jerry was talking about, we have different personalities. When he mentioned something about that this morning. We all do have different personalities. You know that? God wants to take who we are, separate us unto Him by the renewing of our spirit inside and changing our spirit into His spirit, this divine implanting of God's Holy Spirit, this sanctifying action of God that changes me, the very heart of me. God wants to do that for us and then take us with our personality just like He made us, and He wants to fit us together to be complementary to each other in the body. He meant it for complimentary. Do you know my wife is different than me? Her way of thinking is different. But together we are stronger because of what she can provide in our relationship. Together we're stronger. There's things I can't. There have been many times that I might portray to you to be fairly strong. And sometimes I portray to you to... And I am kind of hard-headed. I have to admit that. But I might portray to you a certain persona. But my wife knows when I cry. My wife knows when I come in there and I feel the weight's too much. And she still loves me through it. And you know what that does? I'm strengthened. There's a place of real vulnerability that the Lord would like for us to have, not only with each other, but especially with Him. A real place of admitting, I need You, Lord. Lord, I just want to come and talk with You. One time, in my young walk with the Lord, I seemed like I had had so many things I kept bringing to the Lord and asking for help with. I was always coming with requests. And this one morning, I woke up and I was went out and got on a tractor and was doing some work in a field. And I was out there and I was praying as I was driving along. And that was such a perfect day. Seemed like I didn't have a care in the world, but I still wanted to pray. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, maybe tomorrow I'll have troubles and sorrow. A thousand teardrops may fall. But today, I just came to talk with You, Lord. And, oh, it felt so good just to come and talk with Him. So break, whenever, just learn to talk with Him, not just when I have troubles, but learn to be vulnerable and talk with Him when everything is going well. I just want to sit on your lap and talk with you. During those times, we learn a little deeper of the preciousness of who He is. And we are anchored a little bit more tightly to the truth of God. You know, a thousand cords, our hearts entwined. You know, the Lord wants to cast another cord around us and bind us a little closer to Him too. And He does that through times like this. Through hard places we go through, and also through just the joys that He shares with us. This is truly a relationship. This is something that the God of heaven wants to take us as dear children and begin to shape and mold and feed and develop His children and correct. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Sometimes, and no, the Scripture goes on saying, no chastening for the moment. Seems joyful. It seems very unpleasant. But afterwards, what does it do? It brings forth a rich fruit. Something that develops a real deep-seated peace and a joy in our heart. You also now as lively stones in all of our separate who we are. He wants to take you and I and form us and shape us where we can be fit together as a wall. Built up together. That you and I would fit together, be so complementary that when the world looks on and they can see the great skill that the builder did in taking that individual with their characteristics and this individual with their characteristics and made them blend together. You see, the old lion and the lamb were just laying down together. They weren't devouring each other. Look what they were. Such a beautiful body. That's the glory of the Lord shining today. And God wants that to be alive today. Yes, I want to tell you, I know that the devil would like to try to get us so sidetracked into maybe issues that seem to be right around us today, but I want us to quit looking at the issues right around us today. There's a call God wants you and I to see. He wants to see us to go forward. There's a place. There's something God wants to do in us. He's calling us above the confusion. He's calling us to a place of stability in Him. And I said it just like that. Stability. He wants us to be able to become stable. He wants us to stay right there. That's where God wants us all. And this is a place the Lord wants to... He's calling to us. The voice of God is calling you and I to a place. And let's get our eyes off of all that confusion. Let's be careful. They won't get our eyes cast over here to the daughters of men. I know right now maybe our mind's thinking, well, that's talking about the physical daughters of men. But today in our spiritual walk, did you know there's some daughters of the world God doesn't want us to be enticed by. Yes. And I'm talking about physical daughters out here. I'm talking about those things the devil would use to try to entice us away from His glory. God wants us to stay focused on the glory of God.
And as we feel that calling and that moving and that drawing of that divine love, as we feel the very growth of the Spirit of God, that seed of God that He's put down within our bosom, that changing of my spirit and how I think, I now have the DNA of God at work in my spirit. No longer the old ways of thinking has sloughed off. The Lord is purifying His temple. The Lord is cleansing who I am. The Lord is making me into His honor and His glory. God is at work. And that's what He wants for all of His dear children. And it's His will, His great desire to give you and I His Spirit to be at work in our life. That we all, as like lively stones, can be brought together and fit together a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is obtained, it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on Him shall not be confounded." I know you may think, you know, this is reading that we've heard, and that's true. But folks, there's a deep-seated truth right here that God wants us to still get. There is a foundation. There's something that God has laid for you and I. It's solid and true. And it's fundamental that we build our lives on this. It is essential that we build our lives. We find this rock, Christ Jesus. It's essential that we embrace Him for all that He is and build my life right there. If I begin to build my life on just my desires and my passions, then we are subject to that where Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he's going to need to take up his cross. He's going to need to crucify the old man. Put to death those things that are unlike the Lord. Those things that would draw us away into the enticements of the world. Those things need to be crucified and taken away. And that's what God wants for you and I. There is a stone that the Lord Himself has set. A chief cornerstone. Elect, it's precious. And he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He's precious. And you'll find Him so. God wants you and I to be able to find this stone and it be precious in our hearts and in our lives. And we begin to build. I don't want you to think here today that once you get saved, once you get forgiven, and once the Holy Spirit has come into your life, that everything is going to be so perfect and so well that you'll never have to hardly deal with life. You're going to be walking on air all the rest of your life. It's not that way. So don't get a false conception of this. But God does want to do something special in our soul that will elevate us and bring us in a real place of communion, companionship with the Lord, where every day I can feel the sweetness of the Lord. Every day, every hour, we feel the moving of the Lord, the changing of the Lord. And it's a precious walk. It's a wonderful walk. It is the way that we will feel the most comfortable. And it is God's way to take imperfect humans like us to shape and mold us into His perfection. And that's holiness. He looks at you and I. Look at my children. Look at their heart. He knows sometimes that who I am right now. He sees. Though I might be lived up and just up to date with Him right now, but He sees by His foreknowledge. He sees flaws that are yet there that I haven't been able to see. And He's looking for the day to take that away too. He's looking for it. Because He loves. Because He wants to take you and I into a place that our joy might be full. That we might have the greatest chance of enjoying life right here. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. On down in the 9th verse, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, a peculiar people, that you may show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This is the work that God wants. I want to encourage you, perhaps that the devil has tried to confuse and distort this thought of being sanctified. And sometimes that's something that people sometimes have a hard time grasping. But I want to encourage you. You follow right on. You seek for the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life. And you will find when He gets there and goes to work that what He produces is going to be the righteousness and holiness of God and the sweetest of your soul. Don't look for going over into the land of Canaan and never finding a walled city that needs to come down. Don't expect to go over into the land of Canaan and never have to deal with the deceptiveness of the Gibeonites. Don't expect to go over into the land of Canaan and never have to deal with the AI that looked like it was small, and all we have to do is give it a little half-hearted effort and it'll fall. That's what they did. And they failed. Don't expect to go over there and not have... In the land of Canaan is the land of the greatest victories. You're not going to have a victory without a battle. But in the land of Canaan is the greatest victories that you'll ever have. You're going to see the Lord in greater measure, and you will be anchored a little tighter to His truth. And God wants that for old and young. I want our young people to get a hold of it. Folks, I want our older folks to get a hold of it too. I believe that the devil would like to try to get us so foggy where our vision's not very clear. God wants it to be clear and vibrant. And He wants us to know and feel the very divine hand of God at work in our life, that we'd be encouraged and our faith would be inspired. Let's pray for one another and hold each other up. You want to make heaven my home? Pray for me.